Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org, this is the Soundcheck Podcast. Here at newsounds.org, we've been taking the opportunity, while our performance studio is closed, to look through our archives for some memorable performances from years past. Here's one of them.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. For the past 20 years, Square Pusher has been pushing the boundaries of electronic music. The English producer, real name Tom Jenkinson, has incorporated elements of jazz, the classical avant-garde, and electronic dance music. His latest album is called Damaging Furies, and before he heads off for the summer festival circuit in Europe, Square Pusher has stopped off here in our Soundcheck studio. Tom, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you.
After an aborted effort to get you here some years ago with all of your gear, yeah. Hurricane Sandy 1, Square Pusher 0 was the final score that day.
Yeah, unfortunately, the Frankenstorm intervened.
Now, back then, this was after the previous full-length album, Eufabulum.
Yep.
You had developed your own, not only kind of audio gear, but a kind of bespoke visual synthesizer as well. Today, I can't help but notice you are traveling relatively light.
Yeah, that's right. Well, one of the motives for the current setup was that I wanted to make it such that I could move directly from recording studio to the stage. As you say, the gear that I was using on the Eufabulum tour, I mean, that was a very extensive setup, but it was such a massive amount of equipment to lug around that it meant it was harder for it to retain flexibility. So it was harder to move it into, for example, a rehearsal space or a hotel room, so I could keep working on the material as I went along. On this, if I want to change a piece, I can quickly take a couple of bits of the gear, hide away in a corner somewhere, and get working on it.
Mm-hmm. So for you, I mean, somewhat anomalously in the world of electronic music, you are primarily a live performer, right?
Absolutely, yeah, for sure. I mean, my background is as a live performer, playing in groups. So when I started out playing shows, I was playing principally bass guitar in whatever groups would have me, really. Mm-hmm. You know, and that was from the age of 11 onwards. So having had that kind of background, It would be an unnatural move, I suppose, for me to just slot into the dance music, margarine producing, press go and stand back and wave your arms around modus operandi. Do you see what I mean? I wouldn't ever feel comfortable with that. I guess you run the risks of things taking sort of unexpected turns when you've got all that freedom at your fingertips. Things can go awry, you know. I mean, in the States, you know, there's been a couple of points where the system has ran out of control. There are elements in the software which I've designed in this setup that are not, shall we say, running along conventional lines. For example, I'm using reverb algorithms, but and normally reverbs are quantified in terms of decay times. I quantify mine in terms of amounts of feedback. So beyond 100% feedback, you've got a reverb which is actually gaining intensity over time. And if it's left too long to gain intensity, then it will start causing audio dropouts and eventually lock the system up and crash. So you've got to keep an eye on all these things. It's you know, having this degree of freedom is essential for the sound I want to create, but you need to keep pretty on top of it, otherwise it can just run out of control, and
right.
Before long it's you have to restart the machine, and you know, you're in all sorts of bother. But it's fun. I mean, I couldn't do it any other way, really.
Yeah,
it's fun.
I guess the kind of one of the best analogies would not be to, you know, people doing electronic dance music, but to jazz, you know,
where that would be. I'd certainly feel more comfortable with that analogy because that's part of my background anyway. So I think it might be fair to say that I'm somewhat transferring some of the mentality of jazz and improvisatory music into the world of electronic music.
Yeah. Now, before I let you do whatever it is you're going to do here in the Soundcheck studio today, you have found yourself on stage with musicians who are not known as improvisers, and that is the London Sinfonietta. They recorded a couple of your pieces a few years back.
Indeed, yeah.
So what's that experience like? Because you've got people reading, presumably from scores.
Yes.
That does lock you in to some degree.
Oh, completely. Yeah, I mean, look, that's a very different kind of endeavor. Despite all of the character that those individual musicians will bring to the performance, I look at that more as a sort of programmatic way of working. It's I suppose some of those people might find it insulting to hear this, but I look at it more like the way you use machines. You say, do this at this time, and don't do it any other way. You know, there's nothing wrong with that either. I don't have any problem with writing things out and having them being executed in a very precise way in the same way every time. It's context dependent, I suppose. That tends to be the way I work in the studio, but I want to retain flexibility for live performance to reinterpret. But of course, you know, in the studio, you're committed to a take by virtue of that process alone. You've sort of set something in stone. So the working with these orchestras, I mean, it's a wonderful thing. In fact, the most recent outing of that order was with the Metropole Orchestra in Holland. We did a 4-date tour over there, which was an interpretation of the Eufabulum project. So we had the LED stuff and this horribly gear intensive rig that I was talking about a moment ago. It's about, I don't know, 2/3 of a ton of gear, you know, but it worked, which is the main concern for me. But also I got to play some bass parts whilst surrounded by this orchestra of wonderful musician.
Yeah, and the incredible Metropole Orchestra. I mean, these guys are basically somewhere between a chamber orchestra and a jazz big band.
Yeah, and they really brought some swing to it. Yeah. Actually, it was amazing.
We're speaking with Square Pusher, a.k.a. Tom Jenkinson, the English producer here in the Soundcheck studio. So having warned people that what's on the CD is not necessarily what they get in a live performance, we're about to hear a live performance, and you're going to start off by going way back.
That's right, yeah. So the first piece is called Kill Robot, which is from Do You Know Square Pusher, which was released in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
So,
a title that I've always found had like multiple, like, do you know Square Pusher?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you've taken so many left turns during your career.
That's right. But, you know, don't get me wrong. I mean, there may be profound ways of interpreting it, but there's, you know,
it was just a cheeky little
sometimes
title.
Sometimes it's just something that makes me smile. You know?
All right. Let's hear a live set here in the Soundcheck studio. My guest is Square Pusher.
Thank you.
That is Square Pusher, the English producer and composer Tom Jenkinson, live in the Soundcheck studio with a set of three songs. So, Tom, this is kind of the way your live sets work, where in between the sort of composed pieces, there's something else happening. What was that?
Okay, so at the start there, and in between the pieces, as you say, we have, I'll call it an interval algorithm. So what happens is it detects when there's a lull in the volume from the side of the setup which is doing the main composed pieces, and when it detects that lull, it triggers an algorithm to start generating audio.
Mm-hmm. It almost has, I mean, it doesn't sound like Brian Eno, but your description of the sort of self-generating process.
Right.
Is
yeah, very... yeah. I mean, it's got something in common with some of his work for certain. It's certainly doing something different every time we run it.
Right. So that's in between. But you started with Kill Robach, originally from, do you know, Square Pusher from 2002. And then we heard one of the new, from Damage and Furies.
Rake Fire 2. That's right.
And then the modern bass guitar.
Yes.
With no bass guitar. And lots of... How labor-intensive are these actual in-the-moment performances?
Well, it might look like I'm checking my emails.
No, you look. That's why I'm asking, because you looked busy.
Yeah, that's right. Well, look, I mean, there's a certain amount of it which is coming from the sequencer, and that's the core element of the piece, I suppose. That's the irreducible content of the composition. So that's running, and then I've got various ways of steering that around, if you like.
Well, in that last piece, it almost felt like you were... instead of harmonic modulations from one key to another, there were like rhythmic modulations going on.
Yeah, I mean, amongst other things, there's also all kinds of different frequency modulation happening, and a lot of real time adjustment of the settings on the synthesizers in there. Suffice to say, it's quite complex, and it's not user friendly either. But it's it's a setup that I've designed myself, and for that reason, it's quite Heath Robinson. It's a bit of a mess. You know, I don't pride myself on being the world's most tidy or well organized computer programmer. I do things when it comes to programming audio software, I'm rushing through it, trying to do it as quickly as possible. So some of these things end up a bit of a mess. I'm sure they could be done more efficiently, they could be done better, but at the end of the day, they work, and I know what they're doing roughly. Mm-hmm. So so I can get stuck in there. But you know, occasionally I'm thinking, am I? Oh no, I'm tweaking the wrong thing here, and you know. But it, you know, it ends up chucking out something which is usually quite pleasing.
Yeah. So is there still room in your life for like the bass guitar?
Oh yeah. Oh no, absolutely. It's absolutely central. I mean, it playing an instrument such as the bass, and it is the instrument I probably spend most time with. However, I do play others too. But it, you know, just sitting there with a bass, that's a lot of the time. That's where a lot of the ideas come from in the first place. Even if it's an idea that ends up not having any real tangible relationship with that instrument, still the ideas may well have been born on it. I mean, and that name of that piece is a very much a reference to that.
Right.
So I started off by playing these riffs and mucking around with these ideas, and I thought I've got to make this into a piece. But the final manifestation ended up being completely electronic. Although when I've played it live, I sometimes add bass parts.
Well, as long as you've mentioned names, how do you come up with titles like Damagen? You know, a word that you seem to have made up, Damagen Furies.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it really depends. It can simply be that I like how that string of letters looks or how it sounds. Very much like a poet would, I suppose. You're quite often I find myself playing with the way the arrangement of words looks, the way it sounds, but also how that has an interplay with the meaning of those words.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, it's a different thing, again, if you've made up a word, because, of course, then no consensus meaning for that word really exists. So part of the fun of that is seeing what kinds of meanings that word will take on. So if I make a record and give it a name which is composed of words which don't currently exist, then I hope that those words will begin to take on tangentially or otherwise, take on some of the interpretations that that record and those compositions afford. I mean, Furies interest me because in Greek mythology, Furies were spirits that pursued the doers of unavenged crimes. And without wanting to explain it any further, just I find that quite pleasing.
Yeah. Well, this will not be the first time that you've heard someone accuse you of writing anxiety-producing or anxiety-evoking music. There is a dark side to the square pusher sound, for sure.
Most certainly.
And we've got a chance to hear Tom Jenkinson, a.k.a. Square Pusher, performing live here in the Soundcheck studio. The album Damage and Furies is out now. Tom, it took us 2 tries to get you here, but I'm so glad we finally did, and thank you for playing for us today.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
You've been listening to an episode of the Soundcheck podcast from our archives. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our producer is Karen Havlick. I'm John Schaefer. You can see and hear much more on our website. Check it out at newsounds.org.